My dog is not the greatest podcast host, I must say. So hopefully she calms down.
Welcome to L&D Plus, where learning is a team sport. I'm Joey, and in each episode, my co-host Tom and I will bring you real stories of collaborative learning from the world's leading companies.
The team at Zapier is focusing on its internal secondment program, helping to retain existing team members and transition people into new roles.
But before we hear more on this, Tracy and Colin, how about we start with some introductions?
Hi, I'm Tracy St. Deek. I'm the current Global Head of Talent at Zapier. And so that means I oversee talent acquisition, talent intelligence and attraction, employer branding, and diversity partnerships. And I've only been at Zapier for just over a year after about 15 years in nonprofit.
Hi, I'm Colin Monaghan. I'm our Head of Learning and Development. Our team supports things like new hire onboarding, knowledge management, manager enablement, general learning resources for the company, and talent practices. In the past, I worked in education technology, and I was a teacher for a while, and I'm going into my fifth year at Zapier.
And so if I understand correctly, Tracy, you were a teacher before as well, yeah?
That was a fun fact. We both got our start in education. Yeah, I taught kindergarten.
Yeah, as a teacher, you're very autonomous. You control the classroom. You have to be creative and hold people's attention. And it, you know, it can be very similar in an environment, especially in a remote, smaller company that's growing. I think you apply a lot of those same skills.
Absolutely. I'm really hoping, Tracy, that you don't have to use your tantrum management skills quite so often as in kindergarten.
Working remotely, people don't see like my teacher looks when I have, you know, a strong opinion or something like that. But I mean, it's funny, you know, you're talking to Colin and I and talent and learning and development. There's so much about that that's connected to education and teaching, about thinking of nurturing talent, identifying talent, helping people grow into the people that they want to be. And so while it's a completely different sector, it has a lot of the heart, I think, of why I went into education in the first place.
So right now, I mean, a lot of companies are having such a tough time, especially in the tech sector, you know, with prevailing economic conditions. I'd really love to hear from both of you really on, you know, why you decided this is the right moment for Zapier to focus on internal secondments and really how that all started.
Yeah, I can take that origin story. So this isn't actually the first time we've utilized a flexible capacity model at Zapier, though it's the most formal time we've done it. I think Zapier has this instinct that we should reallocate talent and capacity when it makes sense to do so. So just a level set in our hiring process at Zapier, we look for alignment with our values and with core attributes that would enable people to do well at Zapier, regardless of role. And of course, we also know that people's potential and their abilities go beyond whatever their current core job responsibilities may be at that time. So with that understanding, we think about our internal secondment program as a product in response to a clear problem statement. So in the back half of 2022 is that we foresaw the slowdown in hiring. And that was partially out of caution for what we saw happening in the economy. But I also think it's because we had grown considerably over the past couple of years. So we had already planned to focus on what we call talent density in 2023. And we define talent density as ensuring every single person we hire is operating at or near the top of their potential. And that's really where talent L&D ultimately intersect, right? But all to say, we were still hiring, but we weren't going to be hiring at the same pace. So then on top of that challenge, we had worked hard to build my talent acquisition team. My team grew from 15 to nearly 40 people between October 2021 and June 2022. I was one of those people who joined as we were growing to really meet Zapier's needs. And this incredible team grew Zapier from 550 people to over 800 team members just last year. So pretty phenomenal effort and considerable growth. And so when we were faced with this challenge, right, I think companies typically have a few choices. They can eliminate roles right away, which we saw in many places had to be the choice.
Yeah.
They can also just have people wait and see, which no one, especially the really ambitious and talented people on my team, nobody wanted to just work for a while. I don't think that's a great business strategy. Or companies can reallocate. So based on what we knew at the time, we didn't have a signal that hiring at Zapier would slow down indefinitely. And we didn't want to lose all of our fantastic recruiting talent only to have to rehire them new people down the road, right? So Then in response to this problem, that's when we designed and launched secondments. And that's a formal temporary reassignment program where Zapier teammates are redeployed to a role to work on a project outside of the job they were hired to do. In 2020, when the pandemic started, I mean, hiring basically froze everywhere, you know, while we were figuring that out. And so Zapier, again, had this instinct to move not just recruiters, but others on our operation teams who planned like our in-company in-person retreats. We moved all of them to different parts of the business, marketing, sales, UX and research. And some people are actually still in those roles today, which is really neat. So secondments today are more formal, structured version, I think, of that instinct to center and maximize the talent that's already here.
Colin, I mean, with your experience going through that process during the pandemic, did that sort of give you almost like a trial run for this latest round of this reallocation program?
Exactly. Like Tracy said, we'd done this informally in the past, kind of as needed, as different circumstances hit the company and things shifted and teams had to be restructured or we slowed down hiring. And so in those cases, we were, you know, we had the same mindset, like Tracy just mentioned, which is we value our people. We know they're capable of wonderful things, some things they're doing in their current role and some things they might not be doing in their current role, but might be used elsewhere. And so we're able to find places for them to continue to add value that helped them and helped the company. So with the secondment program was just kind of this first time we were able to really formally approach it. Tracy's team did a good job of identifying this need in advance and then kind of wrapping just a bit more of a formal process around it than we'd done in the past in terms of identifying exactly what we needed, identifying who might move into different roles, and then kind of doing that matching process and being really supported along the way. So I was just really thrilled that we were able to kind of build on some of the informal ways that we'd done it in the past and continue to make it more extensive, more equitable, and just a more organized process for the company.
Yeah, I think that's what most companies would like to aim for, but probably don't have the infrastructure, the team, the vision to make that happen. And for us, we're a big believer in upskilling from within, internal mobility. So it's really incredible to see companies like Zapier doing exactly that. And so, Colin, what you're saying is like the talent team basically identifies potential candidates and then work hand in hand with L&D to kind of work that path and that transition. Is that how it kind of works?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we kind of think of it in different aspects, and Tracy can speak more to kind of on their side how they organized identifying, you know, they knew people on their team that needed to move around, they needed to identify like what their skills and interests were, then what the business need was for that, and then matching those opportunities. My team was really tasked with helping to make sure those folks were able to succeed in those roles and that we kind of had a structure in place that allowed them to do their best work in those temporary assignments.
And are those transitions, just out of curiosity, are they mostly adjacent type of roles, or sometimes it's like a big jump and a complete 180 shift that would, you know, be quite unexpected?
Yeah, I can give a couple of examples, and it spans both. So when we initially did our first round of secondment matching, we did focus on more of the easier, like relevant skills matches. So we had a number of people from talent acquisition go into other people related roles. So we sent two amazing secondees over to Colin's team to support with a number of L&D initiatives. Somebody went to our DIBI team, which is our diversity, inclusion, belonging, and equity team to really their roadmap there. But we also had someone who went through our internal mobility program, another program that Colin's team oversaw called Golden Path to Data. So that's a self-guided program that anyone at Zapier can do to sort of strengthen their data analytics skills across the company. So they already had built up skills in this area and they had a longer interest in data science. So it was awesome when we were able to match them into a secondment on the data science team. And you can see it's like they got to utilize those skills. They got to sort of explore that team. It was a really win-win situation. And then the second time that we've matched secondments, they are less people team focused and actually more focused in other areas of the business, everything from go-to-market to engineering ops, all across the board, which is really exciting to see.
Great. And actually, even within both of those sort of tranches that you described there, Tracy, so the first one being the less adventurous, or the round, and then you've got the more adventurous round, right?
Yeah.
Both of those rounds sort of takes quite a granular sense of what different projects are currently underway within the company and the kinds of backgrounds and training that people have that might sort of fit them within those projects. I'd love to just learn a bit more about how is sort of talent and L&D working together to build that understanding of all of that project and talent data.
So we definitely buy into this idea that internal mobility is a super healthy part of any organization. I know for so many people, it becomes this default to promotion, because that just tends to be what you see people around you doing. And you just assume, I know early in my career, that's what I assumed I wanted. I just want to like keep moving up the job ladder.
Yeah.
And that's a good move for some people. But we put a lot of stock into helping people think broadly around all the different opportunities that they have available. And one of the ways that we do that is really make sure people are deliberate about their own growth plans. So thinking about what are my personal values? What are my strengths? What are my interests? How does that translate into skills that I want to build or opportunities that I want to pursue? And then turn that into specific goals that I might have for my career progression. Mm-hmm. Might be a promotion, but it could be, like Tracy mentioned, learning about data or some other kind of experience that's going to help grow my skills, either up or down or laterally or in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really core to the individual side of things, is helping make sure that they're intentional about what is it that they want out of their career. We're all at different points of that journey. Some of us are really defined view of what that might be, and some of us are really early on. Mm-hmm. But I think in all cases, you want to make sure the individual is kind of being intentional about setting a path for themselves, about what they want, or even what their interests are, like what they're willing to invest more in into the future. Mm-hmm. And then from the company side of things, and we're trying to put programs in place that are providing opportunities that can match what people are wanting with opportunities to further explore those skills or whatever those goals are. We have career pathways that we work on with teams, which are basically just, we have 16 or 17 of these now, which our teams are putting together descriptions of roles in the company. So here's the day in the life of a UX researcher, and they kind of describe what that is like. They describe some of the skills that are needed for that role, some more resources, just to get your head around, is that something that I'm interested in? Are these skills that I want to build? It's all low stakes. These are just kind of self-paced resources. But things like that, that allow people to kind of learn more about other opportunities the company that they might be interested in. So those are kind of just like fundamental pieces that we always make sure to have in place to help drive making those connections between people and what the business needs are. And then the secondments are just like this specific version of this that Tracy's team took a very organized approach to identifying those things to match people up correctly.
I do think of secondments as sort of the umbrella under internal mobility. Again, it's matching specific people with relevant skills and interests with critical business needs. So to go into specifics, I mean, we did get really specific in the types of secondment projects we would staff from the very beginning, which I've learned, you know, in even previous roles where I've run something similar, this is much better than having people just join teams to help out, right? So it has to be really targeted. We have to demonstrate tangible impact and ROI for the business. So for us in this program, the criteria for any secondment in order of importance was business need, number one. Number two is the relevant skills match of our secondees. And then number three is the short or long-term career interests of the secondee themselves. And being able to utilize other things like Colin laid out has allowed people to start to explore that, right? Just generally at their time at Zapier. So our process was that we first solicited projects from partner teams across the business, and then we stack rank those in order of importance. What are most important for the business to staff right away versus ones that are less urgent. Then we asked the secondment leads, this is the person who sort of oversees the project, to share high-level goals and objectives for the secondment, as well as a skills profile. And that could be as simple as, hey, I need a strong project manager, or I need someone with experience working with Figma or Looker, or someone who is very familiar with my engineering team. Mm-hmm. We had that all in a list for our secondees, who we call the people who are, we're redeploying, to view the whole list. And then they actually shared preferences through a survey with rationale. So they were really in the driver's seat saying, hey, here are my relevant skills to this secondment. Here's the experience I've had. Here's my career interest. And then we did a matching process. And truly, we call it matching because we were optimizing for the whole. So we prioritized who was the best skills match first with the critical business needs. We looked at that first, and then we looked at interest preferences second. And then we confirmed that match with the, you know, the lead to make sure that everything was set up for success.
Fantastic.
So are the secondees looking at all the potential opportunities? Like, it's everybody sees all the open possibilities.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So it's a very transparent process. It's not like, okay, I think you might be a good fit for that, but don't tell like this other person, because you know, so it's, everything is like everybody knows all the possibilities and who is going for what. And
absolutely. They saw all the skills that were necessary. They saw any preferences from the secondment leads on skills matches. And transparency is one of our core values at Zapier. So we really default to transparency. And I also think that the framing around it being a matching process was really helpful. There weren't people getting offers for secondments and people getting rejected from secondments. It wasn't competitive. It was truly, how can we optimize for the whole to ensure that everybody's in a secondment where they can be successful, the business gets what they need, and we're providing value in just a different way.
And to be considered as a secondee, that was like a list of criteria on, like, you know, potentially they might not be needed anymore in their original role, or they have raised that they want a new opportunity or something. I assume there are, like, you know, some set of criteria that would.
Yep, absolutely. So for us in this situation, because we had this surplus of capacity on the talent acquisition team, we staffed our business needs first, of course, to say, how can we ensure that we're meeting all of the hiring, the recruiting, and the sourcing needs for Zapier first and foremost? And then we looked at, okay, well, who are the people who then could be redeployed to use their talents elsewhere? And those are the people who then got to view the list, fill out the survey, do the preferences, and ultimately get matched. But generally, I think for secondments as well, as we want to ensure that everybody is in good standing, that we're not, this was not an issue on my team at all, because everyone was really strong in terms of their performance on our team. But you would, of course, want to make sure that you weren't sending somebody with a performance issue to a different. And again, it's all about, how are we going to ensure that they feel successful, that they can thrive in their secondment as well?
And I want to play on that, because the work they were doing was key to the business. So we weren't just giving them busy work. They weren't just working on, like, work. Oh, I've built up this work that we haven't been able to get to for 3 years. Oh, we'd love someone to do that. This is actually, like, key strategic work that the company wanted to move forward, which I think is really important. And it was a mistake I've made in the past of not having that well-defined. But having that has a couple benefits. So one is what we're talking about here, which is you wanted to make sure that person was going to push that work forward. Because as much as you wanted that individual to have a good experience and kind of grow their skills. Also, it's really needed that work done, right? The business needed that work to be done at a high level. And so that helps the company. But I think it also had the effect of, it helped the secondee know that they were a part of something meaningful. And it was crucial work that allowed, I know my team had a few secondees, and it allowed us to do more work faster that would have been delayed, I think, in some cases.
I see.
Or, you know, we even had some situations on my team where I had folks, it worked out really well. I had folks going on leave, like on a parental leave, and a secondee was able to come in and kind of help fill that gap and provide stability for my team. But they were doing really crucial work that I don't know how I would have had to take something else off my team's plate in order to cover that really essential work. So I think it was like just like a really important relationship there around we're doing meaningful work for folks, which helps them feel good about the work they're doing and also helps the company move that work forward.
Yeah. When we defined critical business need, it meant one of three things. It meant it had a direct connection to one of our company's strategic bets. So either they would be doing a project that contributed to a strategic bet, or they would be doing something that would free up someone else on that team to more contribute to that strategic bet. So that was the number one criteria. The second criteria could have been, are they filling in for somebody who is on leave? And that's with the assumption that if there is somebody in seat in a role, that's probably critical work. And so if they're leaving or they're going on a leave, a caregiver leave, maternity, paternity leave, whatever, that role, that work still needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And then the third situation is the point of if you might have a future hire that either you're not sure if you're going to be able to hire for, or it just is a hire that is several months down the line, but you have work that needs to be done right now, we can bridge that gap because, again, these are temporary assignments. So it was one of those three things. And in this last round of secondments, we actually had members of our executive team sign off confirmation, like, yep, it meets one of the criteria. So this is a critical business need. And that let us know when we were doing the matching that we really were working on the highest ROI things for the business.
I mean, it sounds like the program has had quite a bit of success, and that's, you know, why we're sharing today. But can you share some kind of feedback you might have received from secondees so far? And are they enjoying it? Have any of them been working out so well that they actually stayed permanently in this temporary role?
Yeah, we're getting really strong feedback thus far. And we've also learned a lot and sort of evolved our program over time. So for the secondees, the feedback has been really overwhelmingly positive. We surveyed them recently on questions like, you know, if they've learned new valuable skills, if they've made meaningful connections with their temporary team, if the goals felt attainable. So most of these questions averaged a 4.5. or above on a scale of 5. So the quantitative feedback has been strong, and the qualitative feedback had them reporting specific skills they gained or gotten to hone. I mean, in project management, communication, event planning, we had someone support our all company retreat. So they moved into the role of supporting events as an event planner, which was cool to see. And we've seen people saying they're learning new skill sets like employer branding or insights research. So it was really neat to see their feedback and how they're making the connections themselves about how they'll even be a stronger recruiter or sourcer or partner to hiring teams when they come back to our team. And then from the secondment leads, it's been really neat to see, to Colin's point, how appreciative they are to have had a secondee. In some cases, people said, like, I'm so grateful, you know, we're able to move work forward on a roadmap that otherwise we wouldn't have the capacity to do. I would say, you know, the biggest feedback so far from secondment leads is that it's only been, we originally timed them to be 1 quarter each, and that potentially that was too short of a time frame, especially with assignments where there might be a longer ramp up period. So we've evolved in those cases. We've extended the secondment to another quarter. We've adjusted the timing, the transitions, things like that to just get a little bit more clear on the skills matching, but also the timing to ensure that that person can really have the impact. We haven't yet moved anyone from a secondment into a full-time role, though. So I could absolutely see that happening here in the future.
I don't mean in a bad way. It's a compliment, but it's like getting a little summer internship, like, but then you're like in the middle of your career, but like you get to hone new skills and meet new people and do new things, potentially change your career if you want to.
Absolutely. It's just, it's, you know, again, it's part of this internal mobility umbrella. So it's getting experience in other places, it's trying it out, trying it on, understanding, I thought I liked this. Do I really like it? Is, are my skills translatable, transferable to this new type of role? And people actually getting to figure that out in real time. I think that's so valuable. Whether they move into that full-time role or not, they now have those experiences and those skills in their back pocket for the future.
One of the surprises for my team, like experiencing this firsthand too, was not just the kind of hard skills that they picked up or the new experiences based on the projects, but they had an opportunity to experience like a slightly different team subculture. You know, my team, the secondees we had, my team just does things a little bit differently than the team that they were previously on. We have different little rituals, and the way we interact with each other is different. And I think that was really this interesting benefit to them also. Not that it was better or worse, but just different. And so they could get exposed to a different way to do things, even within the same company. They were really reflective of that and how they could bring some of those things back to their own team or vice versa, share that feedback back to my team. So there's some information sharing that happens within the company and all these little, you know, intangible ways that I think is really beneficial as well.
I know that during the whole program, you've been very intentional to making sure that the business goals and the business needs always come first. So, and you've been making, trying to make sure that the secondees have the right skills to excel in their new roles. What kind of learning or HR support are you offering to kind of help to ensure that? And when there is like a bit of a gap, how do you help them kind of bridge those gaps?
Support in those new roles is super important. I learned to kind of separate it into a couple different categories. And the first one was less skill-based and more about helping them transition into this new team and new environment and just build trust with their new coworkers and trust with their new manager. It is so important. Because in addition to actually doing some of the work that they're doing, they're, you know, it's a change for them. They are transitioning into this different environment, and we want to make sure that they're able to hit the ground running and feel comfortable in that new environment, working with new people right off the bat. So for example, a lot of the things that we use for new hire onboarding, we're able to use here. So we have things, new hires will build a personal README, just kind of a document some companies will use that just kind of explains your work style and how you can work together with people. So a lot of our secondees would update that and share that with the team. We do Berkman personality assessments for everyone at Zapier. That's another way to kind of share with your coworkers your work style. So things like that, that are just kind of building fundamental trust and collaborative skills with your new colleagues, we found to be really important as just this foundational thing that we didn't want to skip over before they jump into work. Because we just, you know, we think that that's so core to setting yourself up for success.
Yes, absolutely.
And then beyond that, there's the skill piece. And we mentioned a few things that we have in place already. Again, there's some like boot camp type things that teams have put together for specific skills. I know data has one and UX has one. There's courses that we offer. And then there's some general resources too that they made use of, like our coaching program. We have a coaching program where we want to make sure everyone at Zapier has access to a coach if they would like one. And so a transition like this or taking on a new responsibility is a great opportunity to talk to a coach to help support you through that transition. So that's another kind of general support system that folks like this had. But again, a lot of it was kind of taking things that we already have at the company and we're applying to different situations anyway, but making sure that we are making them relevant and easy to apply, and just the folks in these situations are aware of them so they can build their appropriate skills.
Yeah, so Colin and Tracy, so do you think this kind of internal secondment program could become part of Zapier's talent strategy, you know, over the long term? And what would you say you need in particular for that to be successful in the long term?
That's a great question. I mean, personally, I think the ultimate vision for talent strategy at Zapier is centered around this idea of talent density and also resiliency as an organization. So how do we build a powerhouse team across Zapier that can remain flexible to meet our needs? I think is the key question. So regarding talent density, I can confidently say that my team members who have been on secondment have grown in their own skills and their understanding how different teams operate at Zapier. I mean, they will be better recruiters and sourcers when they return to our team. And then on the resiliency front, I'm really supportive of companies building levers to ensure that they can be nimble and agile. I mean, you just never know when a pandemic is going to hit, right? Or when something's going to happen.
Touch wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. Being able to ride economic slowdowns or booms should be, I think, a priority for talent teams and leaders regardless. So for those reasons, I would love to see secondments become a go-to strategy for leveraging internal talent when there is a temporary surplus of capacity for whatever reason. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that I think secondments should be an ongoing program, because if you constantly have surplus capacity, I imagine companies just need a plan to right-size their teams. But I think it should be a tool in the tool belt, to be clear. So three things I would say to make this successful is, one, you have to get clear on the criteria for business needs. I wouldn't consider it a smart company strategy just to create superfluous projects to give people something to do. So the talent function and leadership have to be on the same page about what constitutes a critical business need. So again, here we define that as work relating to our company's strategic bets, filling in for someone on a leave, or bridging a temporary gap in capacity for a future hire. That's how we've defined it today, but we've aligned with our executive team on that. The second thing I think you would need to make it successful is the skills assessment piece. So we know people possess skills and experiences outside of their day-to-day work. for talent acquisition, for example, we have a whole host of transferable skills, project management, relationship building, constituent management, process improvement, operations, research. I mean, the list goes on. So if a company has a team that's not operating at max capacity, I think the key is to think through how to leverage those inherent strengths that are on that team across those different contexts. And that's where we work with L&D to understand skills mapping and understand competencies. And then I think the last thing to be successful is clear expectations on all sides. This would include the secondee. You know, how will they know what they're expected to do? And are they eager and willing to dive in? This would include the secondment lead. Are they clear on the abilities of their secondee and what support that secondee might need to jump in? And then the original manager as well, who we consider as responsible for ensuring that the secondee is performing well and facilitating that smooth transition to and from the temporary assignment. So I think the expectations is really important, but that also is built off of a culture that I think we have here at Zapier, which is a culture of transparency and this real one team mentality.
I love that. And I assume like you would need to get exec buy-in, and it sounds like you had that right from the get-go. They were involved, they support it, and it's the culture, it's the manager, it's the people. So bottom up and top down all across that kind of needs to be in it for it to work.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that all companies should think about ways to encourage as much internal mobility as they can. And by that, I mean different ways for their workforce to learn and grow and take on different opportunities. It can take on a lot of different forms. It could be formal or informal, but we know that workers today really value career progression and growth. And the more ways that you can provide a menu of options for them, the better, as long as those also drive business goals, which is something we've reinforced a lot. And I do think is important also. So I think there's a lot of different ways for companies to do that, formal or informal. And even at Zapier, we've done that in different ways as we've grown and just kind of changed as a culture over time. But I think of it in terms of three different roles and kind of levers that you can pull in terms of there's the individual team member, there's the manager responsibility, and then there's kind of company-wide programs. And I think all of those you can push and pull in different ways to help encourage internal mobility. So from the internal or from the individual team member point of view, I mentioned the importance of people just understanding their own strengths and interests, have some sort of process where people know that they are enabled for driving their own career to some extent and kind of understanding what they want and kind of pushing on that from their own point of view, I think is one lever that you can pull. At Zapier and a lot of companies, the manager plays a really important role too. So even if you don't have formal internal mobility programs, the manager at Zapier can be a really powerful force for helping to nudge the person into those career conversations, helping to coach them through those career conversations, connecting them with opportunities, even if they're informal, connecting them with other people throughout the organization or at other organizations. So, so I think there's an important lever there for managers to pull in terms of their role as a connector and a supporter for people on their team, and just continuing to broaden their horizons in terms of how they think about those opportunities. And then at the company level, the company is where you could decide to start to put programs in place. So it could just be, you know, making sure all your roles are posted internally before they're posted internally, so people know what's happening. We used to do something called Meet My Job, which was kind of an internal career fair where people could just talk about their role and other people at Zapier would ask them questions about that role just to like kind of learn more about what that might look like. Depending on the context and the stage of a company, they can kind of decide how they want to mix and match to build those different pieces up to build a really strong culture of internal mobility.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of interest on the secondment program. I've definitely fielded calls from different companies that are like, hey, can we learn a little bit more about how you did this? Like how we might be right here. So I think that's awesome to see that companies are thinking about, they have more options than just moving straight to role eliminations. If there are opportunities, if they have the ability to run a program like secondments, and that's a smart business decision for them at the time, that it is possible to do that. It's not just people are floating or people need to have their roles eliminated. So I think there's many other levers levers that companies can pull when you have a strong internal mobility infrastructure. One question that I often get is, could this be done at scale? So, you know, we're doing this for less than 15 people, right? What about if you have 100 people on a team that needs to be reallocated? Yeah. And my answer to that is, one, obviously I haven't tried it yet, but I do think it's really possible. In fact, even in my old organization, we did something similar called an externship program, or we actually had a floating team that did, that was more of an agile team that was able to jump in and support different projects at different times. So I think there's many iterations of what this can look like.
Yeah. So Tracy and Colin, I mean, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners, you know, on this topic, just as we wrap up?
I have no answers, but a lot of questions. We're all certainly at Zapier and many other places, we're thinking about AI and how that relates to things we're working on. And I think there's vendors thinking about this, but also internally just thinking about, do some of those tools come to bear on how we think about our talent data and how can that help people understand their skills or the company understand the skills that they have available at the company? How can that tools like that help us start to make more intelligent matches between people and opportunities? And just, there's a lot of data here that we organize very manually right now, and there could be tools like that to help in the future. So we're just kind of keeping an eye on that. It'll be interesting to see how that develops over the next few months and years.
Thanks so much to Tracy and Colin for joining us.
If you're looking for more great stories on upskilling from within, be sure to subscribe to L&D Plus wherever you get your podcasts and consider joining the L&D Collective.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.